Okay, good vach, everybody. Thank you for the beautiful words. It happens to be very special that you have this. I mean, that you have a school that you went to and continuing the kesher, continuing the relationship, caring about you in such a beautiful way. It says a lot. And the emissary says a lot about each and every one of you that you're here. It's Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. There's a lot of places we all can be. But this is beautiful. And the emissary says there's no more special time to have this. And to have it together, not just with Torah, but having love Malka. You know, there's a very beautiful idea. Mishnah Brewer brings it down. That the Suda of Malava Malka is somehow this Suda that gives sustenance to the loose bone. There's a special bone in our body. And that bone is the bone that, Be'ezus Hashem, Halavai, Mashiach should come, none of us should know from this, but those who've passed on and those that are going to need Tchis HaMeisim, their bodies are going to be rebuilt from that bone specifically. That bone leads to Tchis HaMeisim. So our eternal life that Be'ez Hashem one has really stems from this Suda. And why is that? Because what's so special about this time that we have this chus to be together right now and this Suda, what Matzei Shabbos Kodesh is in the most special of ways, is taking Shabbos into the week and showing that Shabbos was so special that it wasn't just for Shabbos. I'm lifted up and I'm a different person all week long. And I show that if I go and I go right back in, and my eating's a different eating, my life's a different life, and I go right back into learning Torah, in the way that we are, it says something about each and every one of us. And that's a person that Boshem wants to be eternally together with him in such a beautiful way. So it's a beautiful thing just to have a malk like this, and to go straight from Torah into more Kedusha. Really, it's a special one for me as well. And it's through this Rosh Chodesh. So the Rosh Chodesh is special for women. Rosh Chodesh is special for women. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells us that women have this chus of Rosh Chodesh because they do not partake in the Chet Egel. And they have this special yantiv. So to have Torah, to have Malka, Kodesh Kedashim. And Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Of course, we had a first Adar, and now we're entering into a second Adar. In Simcha La Torah, there's no greater Simcha than Torah. To share Torah, to grow from Torah. And maybe tonight, to find within each and every one of us a true simcha. To be our happiest selves. There was a big tzaddik, Reb Zusha. The Rebbe Reb Zusha. Maybe some of you listen to Zusha. Right? You know Zusha, the band? Nobody's called Zusha in that band. It's named after Reb Zusha. The lead singer is Shlomo Gazin. He's a special Talmud of mine. His name is not Zusha. The guitarist is Zach. There's no Zusha. Zusha was Reb Zusha, the big tzaddik. That's the name of their band. Reb Zusha was the Noam Elimelech, or the Rabbi Rebelech's brother. He's buried in Annapolis. He had this chus to once be by his kever, together with the Maggid of Mezrich. He's buried. He's a very special makom right next to a lake. It's unbelievable. And Reb Zusha, there's a famous story about Reb Zusha. At the end of his life, he was surrounded by his Talmidim. And he was crying. He was crying bitter tears, streaming down his cheeks. And his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? You've taught us about the Olam HaEmes. You've taught us about the next world. You're surely going to be in a palace. You're surely going to be in an incredible place, together with old Tzaddikim. Why are you crying? And he looked at them and he said, I want you to know something. I'm not crying because I'm afraid that I'm getting up to Shemayim and they're going to look at me and they're going to say, Zusha, why weren't you more like Moshe Rabbeinu? And I'm not crying because I'm afraid right now I'm going to go up to Shemayim and they're going to say, Zusha, why weren't you more like King David? I'm crying because I'm afraid I'm going to get up to Shemayim. They're going to look at me and they're going to say, Zusha, why weren't you more like Zusha? Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought each and every one of us into this world. And each and every one of us has our beautiful talents, our beautiful kochos, our beautiful midos. And they're all different. They're all different. And the Rabbeinu Shalom believes in each and every one of us. Believes in our kochos, believes in our abilities, believes who each and every one of us is and can be. And sadly, sometimes we're trying to be someone that we're not. And sadly, sometimes we're trying to live a life for others, to impress others, to fit in with others, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be a teacher, a rabbi, whoever it might be. But it's not me. And sometimes we judge ourselves based on how other people perceive us and what type of kavod they give us. And that's a recipe for sadness. It's a recipe for atzfus. Zusha understood that we're all judged only on if we've lived up to our best selves. And each and every one of us should be looking in the mirror a little bit more often and asking ourselves that very question. You know, we're preparing for Purim, Mamish, 2 weeks from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight is Purim. And in Purim we defeat Haman HaRasha. Who was Haman HaRasha? Haman HaRasha was an individual who had everything in the world. He was the second wealthiest person in the history of the world, second only to Korach, which is interesting within itself. Haman HaRasha was, although second in command to Achashverosh, who ruled over the entire world, we know he had a signet ring and he made decisions and he basically was ruling the world. He had a wife, he had children, had sons, we all know about it. Seems like he had it all. One Jew wouldn't bow to him. One Jew wouldn't give him respect. And by the way, the Kedushas Levi in his first piece on Purim says, and if you read the pasuk clearly, you see this, Mordechai didn't even need to bow to him. It says, "V'chol avdei ha-melech kor mishtachim laban." All the servants, all the normal individuals in society. But he was part of the government. He didn't need to even bow to him. But he wasn't bowing to him. And Haman couldn't handle it. And he said, "V'chol zeh inenu shav eli. V'chol zeh inenu shav eli. All of this I have is worthless to me. All of this, everything." And he had everything. You know why it was all worthless? Because one person didn't bow to him. One person. And those words are disastrous. Those words are the recipe for destruction. You know, every month, I'll tell you something very deep, it's Vav Malka time. Every month has what's called the Tzeref of Shem Havaya. Meaning what? Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name, Yud He Vav He, can be arranged in 12 different ways, right? Even though, if you know a little bit about math, so 4 factorial would really be 24, but 2 of the letters are the same. There's 2 hays, so it could only be arranged in 12 different ways. Yud kei vav kei, yud vav hey hey, hey hey vav yud, whatever, right? 12 ways. Each connected a month of the year. And has a pasuk with either the Rashi tables, the first letters, or the Sofei tables, the last letters, connected that month. So just to understand the easiest, Nisan, which is coming up, is Keneged Yud Kei Vav Kei in order, which is the biggest merciful time. Yud Kei Vav Kei in order is Rachamim, and that's the pasuk Yismechu Hashemayim V'Sagel Aretz Yud Hei Vav Hei. The most difficult month of the year for a Jew is actually not. We think it might be. People would think it's Av Mishnechzal B'Mat B'Simcha, but Av has it within it. Tubav Av turns around in the middle. Av even Tisha B'Av is going to be Kamei Moed. The most difficult month is actually Tammuz, which has Shivat of Tammuz in the beginning of the 3 weeks and destruction and nothing positive in it. The pasuk for Tammuz is Zeh Einenu Shav Eli, which has the last letters Hey Vav Hey Yud. Zeh Hey Einenu Vav Shava Hey Li Yud. Sofei tables, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei backward, which is the most judgment. Those are those words. Those words that Haman said. Why? Because you know what those words mean? That means even though I have everything in the world, My entire existence is based on how other people look at me. And if one person doesn't give me kavod, doesn't look at me, I'm destroyed, I'm distraught. Zayin and Ashavali. Which is the complete antithesis of any simchas achayim in life. When my whole life is based on how other people perceive me, is looking to be something in other people's eyes, I'm never living for myself. Zeinenu shaveli. And we have to ask ourselves, Zusha, are you being Zusha? Arya, am I being Arya? And every one of us has a different answer to that question, because we're all different. You know, you think about it, in a certain sense, these were the very first words, the very first words to the very first Jew from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who's the very first Jew? The very first Jew was Avraham Avinu. We had Adam, we had Noah, we had people in the world that we look to, but ultimately the first of the Avos, the first of the Yidden was Avraham Avinu. What were the very first words from the Ribbono Shel Olam, from the Master of the Universe, to Avraham Avinu? You want to try? Very first words to Avraham Avinu. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham. Avraham. What? Lach lecha. Exactly. So we take that as a pasuk in whole, is leave your homeland, leave your house, leave and go to Eretz Yisrael, which itself is telling us the very first words was actually to go to Eretz Yisrael, but I'm not going to focus on that right now. If we take the very first two words in a vacuum and look at those and letting them stand alone, the very first words to the very first Jew was Lech Lecha, which can be, and I believe should be understood, Lech Lecha, go to yourself. Go be yourself. Be your true self. Don't just live for others. Don't live how you think society wants to perceive you or look up to you. Be true to yourself. Lech Lecha. You be you. And you know what you're going to find when you're you? The ultimate Simchas Achaim. Because when trying to be someone living for others, trying just to impress others, we turn around at night and we're very upset with ourselves. And we're very sad. Because we don't feel good about ourselves. Be you and be proud to be you. It's part of what it is today to be proud to be a Yid and not to allow anyone to get in our ways. You know, the biggest nachas I had in my brother in his youth. My brother 6 years younger than me, Moshe, and he struggled in high schools in different ways and ended up in various different high schools. And for his senior year, he was in a public school in the Five Towns, Lawrence High School. Baruch Hashem, he's married with children, Shem Tar Mitzvah, it's incredible. But it's part of his journey, he was in public school. One Shabbos, when he was during that senior year, he went to Daven Mincha Ma'ariv in a shul. Maybe some of you have heard of Eish Kodesh. He davened in Eish Kodesh, and this man comes over to him and says, "I want you to know, because of you, I wear my yarmulke every day in the office." My brother never met this guy before. He says, "I don't know. What does that mean, because of me?" And the man said to him that he, obviously, he didn't wear his yarmulke enough until then, for whatever reason it was, and he has a younger sister that was also in Lawrence High School. And one day he was driving his sister to school, and he sees my brother, he got all the height. He's like 6'2", 6'3", not like me. And happens to be an incredible ball player. He was started for Lawrence High School, and he had a lot of friends from the team, so he was there, surrounded by his friends, you know, a few African Americans and a few whatever they were. And he saw my brother, and he's standing out because he's very tall. It's actually very funny. He played on the team. He's Moshe. The other really good player on the team was this 6'6 non-Jew named Isaiah. So when we used to go, myself, my father used to go watch my brother play, the whole time everyone in the stands in Lawrence High School screaming for Moshe and Isaiah. It was like, where are we? So he said, "I saw you in Lawrence High School surrounded by all these, and you were wearing your yarmulke." And he said to myself, "How could I not wear my yarmulke in the office?" My brother was. He, on the court, he played against, he wore his yarmulke always. And you should know there's a second part to the story. There was a time when I was telling over this story, and a man came over to me afterwards. He said to me, "You know, Rabbi Cohen, I want you to know that story is true." I said, "Of course it's true. I heard it from my brother. It wasn't, I don't think he, no, no, I'm the guy in the story that started wearing the yarmulke in the office." Mm-hmm. My brother was in that situation. He had every reason in the world to not wear a yarmulke and feel that he has to fit in. But he said, "I'm true. This is who I am. I'm Emes." And in all our ways, that's who we have to be. And I want you to know that's what all of Purim is about. It's all Purim about, because Purim is defeating Haman, who didn't understand that. What do we do on Purim? We dress in costumes. We dress in costumes. You ever think about the depth of that? Why we dress in costumes? I'm going to tell you what I think it is to dress in a costume. Whatever the costume might be. You know what happens when I dress in a costume? So I dress up, imagine an individual dresses up as a gorilla, right? So the person's a gorilla. The whole world knows that you're not really a gorilla. That's just your external show. So who are you? Clearly, Bahamas, it's only your panemius, you who you really are inside. And we're telling ourselves that. So I know for real, I'm not Superwoman, and I'm not a gorilla. I have to find my true self. That's the avoda. Look beyond, find our true selves and be true to ourselves. And then we'll be our happiest individuals. That's what it is even, I'm not going to get into the halachic discussion about it and whatever it might be, but that's what it is, the whole entire chiyuv of getting drunk on Purim. What is getting drunk on Purim? This is not a plug for getting drunk or not. I'm not getting into that right now, but the idea behind it is nichnas yayin v'yatzah sod. When you get drunk, your innermost self comes to the surface. Your true self comes to the surface. Sometimes that's not so pretty. But our avodah is to find our deepest depth. To find out who we truly are. That's the avodah of Purim. That's what it's all about. In fact, you know, it's an amazing thing. If you think about it. In our society, this is called our face, right? In American, no, in English, this is a face. You know the root of the word face? They don't know where the word face comes from. It comes from a Latin word. You know where the word face comes from? Facade. And what does facade mean? It's fake. In fact, if you say face with a hard C instead of the soft C that we're used to, the word is fake. Who's to say it's a soft C? Who may, I don't know. It's fake. You know why? Because in American culture and society, people's externals are completely fake. And people act in a way and put on a show for dependent who they're with. And if I'm with this group of friends, I'm going to look and act in this way. And that group of friends, I'm going to... And my parents in this way. And my Rebbe like this way. And whatever. And my more whatever it might be. All different faces and all different... And I'm going to cry when people think I'm supposed to be crying. I'm going to laugh when people think I'm supposed to be laughing. How about be real? How about be you? You know in Lashon HaKodesh what this is called? It's called my panim. You know why it's called panim? Because it comes from me, panim. My face should be from what's inside. Not just some external fake exposure to the rest of the world. My panim is me, panim. I'm one. I'm true. Lech lecha, go be yourself. Be true to yourself. And that's the whole entire avodah of Purim. And I'll tell you something, Chavra. Because you're all at ages, and whether that be those that are here that are either started or entering into the parish of dating, or those that are married but still at a young stage in that marriage, you have no idea how important this is. It's important in every aspect of one's life. But so often in dating, people put on a show to try to think that people will be excited by a particular way of life and a particular personality. But you know what happens through that? You know what happens when you're not being true to yourself? So you end up with somebody liking you that doesn't even know the real you. That's not going to work. That's not going to be Emes. That relationship will never work. And in our marriages as well. If we're not real, if we're not true, the relationship is based on complete sheker. And it can't develop, it can't grow. The communication can't be in the right place. Communication, which is the key to all relationships, has to be a communication that's founded upon emes, it's founded upon truth. So often, you know, I've found in relationships where small discussions and maybe some level of machlokas turns into major, major fights, often because one of the people involved, one of the sides in the relationship, is just not being really open and truthful with the other side fully. And beating around the bush in ways that allows this to create some major issue that never needed to be there, but we're just open and truthful and real. And ultimately, when you're you, that's the truth, and that's how you could find emes in every aspect of our life. And you have to believe that your true self is your beautiful self. That's what the Rabbanu Shel made you. That's why he put you in this world. That's how you'll be happiest anyways. And there's so much depth in each and every one of us still left to be tapped into. And I want to share a story. Some might have heard this story has gone around, but I'll tell you, it's Emesh Bamito. I heard this from my Rav, Rav David Spiegel. Heard it by the son of the person it happened to, Rav Chaim Kreisworth. Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, was a very big tzaddik, a guy in a Gadol Hadar in Antwerp, Belgium. His son was brother-in-law with my Rav, and told my Rav this story from his father. Rav Chaim Kreisworth was in the Holocaust in one of the concentration camps. And a Yid came over to him, and this Yid was frail, this Yid was not so well, and he felt that he's not going to make it that much longer. And Rav Chaim Kreisworth was strong and healthy and full of hope and full of strength. And this Yid said to Rav Chaim, I know that you're going to survive and I'm not going to survive. And I want you to know that I also trust you as the most erlich person I've ever met, the most honest person I've ever met. And I also know you're someone very bright that has a very strong memory. So I want you to listen to me. I was a very wealthy man before the war. I have a large sum of money in a Swiss bank account. And I have the numbers to that account, the password to the account. But like I said, I'm not going to make it. I want to give you the numbers, the password, the code to get into this account. And I trust you that hopefully after the war, you'll find one of my loved ones, someone in my family, and pass it on to them. And he gave him the code, he gave him the password. This man was Nifter. And Reb Chaim survived. And for years, he never met anyone in this man's family. And he had this code, and he was an Erlich Yid. He could have gone and got all this money sitting in a Swiss bank account for years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And one day he's in shul, and an ani, an impoverished individual, walks into the shul, asking for money, asking for help, asking for tzedakah. And he comes over to Rechaim Kreisworth, and Rechaim Kreisworth strikes up a conversation with him, asks him his name. And he tells him his name, and it was the same name. He said, by any chance, are you related to who died in this house? Sure, that was my uncle. And he looks at this poor man who's coming begging in shul, and he says, I want you to know you're a very wealthy man. And he tells him the story, and he gives him the code, and he goes, lives out his life, a very wealthy individual. For those 15 years post-war, this man, was he wealthy or was he poor? He was walking around very poor. But he had millions in a Swiss bank account, unbeknownst to him. Unbeknown to him. So to each and every one of us, each and every one of us has such kochos, dormant inside us. We have such talent, so much, our true self. That is left there because we're trying to be someone we're not. And if we just stuck to Lech Lecha, to being true to ourselves, we'd find so much within us and we'd be our happiest self. Just be true to yourself. Be you. Be you. You know, there's a Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Hei Amud Beis. I want to read you this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boicha Aleihem B'chol Yom. there are three people that Hashem cries about every single day. The first person, imagine Hashem's crying for these people. Al she'efshir la'asuk b'torah ve'eino osik. Someone who's capable of learning Torah, but doesn't learn Torah. Someone who's capable of learning Torah, but doesn't learn Torah. Okay, that makes sense. Hashem's crying. Hashem, I put you in this world to learn Torah. You're not learning my Torah. I'm going to skip the second one for a moment. The third person, an individual who's very wealthy, who's blessed with a lot of money, but he has gaiva, is haughty. It's all for me. He doesn't give that karsa tov to the Eibishter, have the humility to understand this is all from above. Gaiva. So of course Hashem's crying. You realize where that came from? Those two make sense. Listen to the middle person. Alsh she'efshar la'asuk b'torah, someone who can't learn Torah, ve'osik, and still learns Torah. That sounds beautiful. That sounds awesome. Someone pushing themselves to go above and beyond. Why is Hashem crying? Because let's read it a little more carefully. It doesn't say someone has a difficulty in learning Torah. It says someone e'efshar, it's impossible, and still is trying. That's someone trying to be someone he's not. That's when Hashem cries. So they put you in the world to be you. You're trying to be someone that you're not. You're trying to be someone to live for others. Hashem's crying. I said, Lech Lecha. Bishvili Nivra'ilam. On a Pajal level, Bishvili Nivra'ilam means the world was created for each and every one of us. But Shmuel Brazil Shlita has a different pshat. A Shvil is a path. Bishvili. For each and every one of us, we all have a Shvili. We have my personal path that the world was created for. And we all have to find our personal paths and be true to ourselves. And live the happiest lives that way. And have the most beautiful marriages that way. And go through the dating process in a beautiful way that way. Not looking for someone because other people think that should be perfect for me. Be true, be real. You know, there's a pasuk in Eicha. Right at the beginning of Eicha, that's very hard to understand. The pasuk says, Darchei Tzion Avelus, Mibli Boe Moed. Darchei Tzion Avelus. The roads of Zion were in mourning. The streets were mourning. The streets were mourning. What were they mourning? One could think they were mourning what was going on. That's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says in Eicha Rabba Marvuna, Hakol Mevakshin Tafkidon. Hakol Mevakshin Tafkidon. Everything in this world was created for a purpose and wants to fulfill its purpose, its personal purpose. And the roads have a purpose. Mibli Boyin Moe. Moe Yantiv. No one was walking them on to be Oyla Regel on Yantiv. The purpose of the roads of Eretz Yisrael, the roads of Yerushalayim, was to be Oyla Regel. And no longer was that happening with this Churban Beis HaMikdash. The roads were mourning that it no longer could fulfill its purpose. It wasn't living up to its true self any longer. That's Avelus. When one is not living up to its or his or her purpose. Avelus. The roads even have a purpose. You think you don't have a purpose? A personal purpose, a beautiful purpose. Kadosh Baruch Hu created each and every one of us with our own personal midos, our own perfect imperfections, our own personal families and friends, and all of those to help us be you. Hashem put each and every one of us in this world and believes in each and every one of us in our own personal ways. Every morning we wake up in the morning. We say, Moedani lefenecha, melech chai v'kayim shechazarti v'nishmasi. Thank you for giving me back nishmasi, my neshama. Not someone else's neshama. We say, Rabbe munasecha. People always get that line wrong. You hear amunah, and right away you think about, what do you think about? Amunah, amunah and Hashem. And we think it's, right away we wake up and we give you some testament to our belief in Hashem. That's not what we say. It's a munasech. We're talking to Hashem. Rabba munasecha. How great is your emunah? What do you mean your emunah? Hashem's emunah. If you just woke me up this morning and gave me back my neshama, you know why you did that? You know why the Rebbeinu Shlom did that? Because he believes in you. Rabba munasecha means how great is your emunah, Hashem's emunah in you. That you could be great. That you could take your personal talents and be incredible. Being you, not someone you're not. And there's no more important key to true happiness. Because when we try to be someone we're not, and we try to live for others, where do you think that leads us? To waking up one morning, to looking in the mirror, and have complete atzfus, complete sadness. Because we, first of all, when we try to live for others, I'm not happy about myself. But also, we're never going to impress the world. Haman HaRash had everything. One person didn't. My whole life is running to impress others, to get respect from others. To be you. To be the best you. Now, years ago, I found this book. It's called Season of Life. The way I found it, I used to live in Queens. This goes back many years ago. I'm already living in the Five Towns for close to 20 years. I was living in Queens, my first few years married. And my first couple of years working in DRS, I had a commute. It was about a 25-minute commute. And Sunday mornings, I'd listen. There was this program on sports radio, but it was all about like ethics and sports, morality and sports. Very interesting. They spoke about this book once called Season of Life. Piqued my interest and I got it to read. It was incredible. It was basically this Pulitzer Prize winning author spent a year with a high school football team. And this high school football team was coached by this ex-NFL player who became a bishop. And he basically taught the players way more about life than sports. The whole book is about that, and it basically like gets really well half of what we're about. Like all the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro of our life, like it gets it really well. It's a really inspirational book in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Like incredible. Incredible. But in that book, in the beginning, it had a poem. It was the first time I saw this poem. And the poem is a poem that literally changed my life. Apparently, this poem was hanging by the locker room of the Baltimore Colts. It's an old NFL team that doesn't exist anymore. There are the Colts and there's a Baltimore team. I don't know how many of you are holding in this, but whatever it was. Back in the day, this coach played football for that team. And there was a poem for every player to see every single day. It was when you walked into the door of the locker room, you had to read this poem. This is what they read. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end. And you've passed your most difficult, dangerous test, if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. Don't cheat the man in the glass. Be true, be you. Leich lecha! Go be yourself. Go be true to yourself. Not to live for others. It takes the ability to be alone a little bit. It takes the ability to think a little bit. You know, we live in a world where technology and the world we live in has grabbed onto us and doesn't give us that much alone time anymore. Doesn't give us that much time to have what's called hitbodedus, a little solitude. to be able to be real. You know, there's a particular yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael where they sometimes send an individual, they call it going to Cherem. What they do, and it's something I actually have a Talmud who this week was in that yeshiva in Cherem. What do it mean to go into Cherem? They send them to, they have a few different yeshivas, they'll send them away to a Hesder Israeli yeshiva, not a Hesder yeshiva that has an American program with plenty of guys that speak English, like a Shalavim, KBY, Gush, that world where they're going to have fret. No. They send them to like some really Israeli yeshiva, one of them being in Chevron, Yeshiva Shavi Chevron. They send them away to have a week or even two. What's the idea? They're going to be with 90% of the people don't speak a word of English, and these are guys that don't speak a word of Hebrew. And they're away, and they take away, they'll give them phone, but like, they'll wipe their phone of anything but, you know, calling and maybe text. And go, like, find yourself. Go be true to yourself. And they feel that there's a guy, an individual, who's just, you know, following the masses or looking to impress the masses or whatever that might be. Like, go be true and find yourself. And it's an incredible experience. And I had this Talmud that was there last week in Shavei Chevron. And it was life-changing for him. Life-changing. Really, really incredible. We need to be willing to do that. Be true to yourself. And it's the foundation of all our relationships, the foundation of our life. You know, I'll tell you. I don't even know how this happened. I'll be honest. But on the plane right here, I was simultaneously, most of the plane right here, I was learning while listening to music. It's rarely do I ever do that. But like on plane rides, sometimes I do that. I don't know, it's like a very relaxing, beautiful thing. I love plane rides. It's like my only vacation I ever get. It's awesome. Like now that they have Wi-Fi and plane rides, it's terrible. I never go on the Wi-Fi because like a plane is finally, I know some people hate flying, I love flying. It's like vacation. Flight tariffs, people dread the flight tariffs roll because it's so long and it's like difficult. I love it. I have it down to science, how I sleep and when I sleep and learn. Like it's, so I'm listening to music and I'm learning. And I don't know even what I was listening to, what playlist, whatever it was, something. It was mainly what I was listening to, what I remember at the beginning was all, which mainly I've been listening to more and more over these last many months, to Israeli music almost specifically. Whether it be Yishai Ribo, there's an artist, Asaf Arush, who's incredible. Rolam Radam, throw it in there, you know. Really connecting just to Eretz Yisrael and in that way. That's what's really talking to me. So it was mainly that. And at some point, I must have dozed off. For a little bit, I must have dozed off. And I like wake up and I hear the words. And I don't even know how this was ended up on. But it was an old song that I used to connect to as well. From a band, Guns N' Roses. I'm not sure if anyone's holding in this right here. But there's a beautiful song, November Rain. It's a gorgeous intro to the song. I missed the intro. I woke up in the middle of the song, and there's an emphasis on this line in the song, and this is what I woke up to hearing these words: everybody needs some time alone. And he repeats it a few times: everybody needs some time alone. I just woke up to those words, and I was like, wow, because I was having that time alone right there, and I'm like, such amnes. We're so connected constantly in this world we live in. Sometimes we don't even know what it means to be ourselves. But to be willing to have some time alone, to lech lecha, to go be yourself. Lech lecha, be yourself. And when you're yourself, you're going to realize you have so much within yourself. So much that's dormant within there that you're going to pull out. And you'll be your happiest self. And you'll make the most beautiful relationships with your friends now, with your family now, with your husbands to be, with your husbands that you already have, with your children. Be true. Don't be afraid to be real. Sometimes parents have this image, they have to be a certain way for their children, and our children are, trust me, are so perceptive. Just be real. Be true. Be you. Be you. Be you, and then Achar Me'ev Esrim, you get up to Shemayim, you're not gonna be afraid. Because all they're gonna ask you was, Are you where you are? That's it, that's all that's gonna be asked. That's what Rav Zusha taught us. And along the way, all that we're gonna find is tremendous Simchas HaChaim, tremendous happiness. Because we're gonna feel good about ourselves. We're going to live the way we're supposed to be living. And be zaycha to the personal geula that we're all looking for. And not to be a slave to others. I don't know, you know, we're all yearning. We're all yearning for the ultimate geula. We're all yearning for Mashiach more than ever. We're all, every one of us, more than we ever have. And an imam and b'chol yom shiyav, and we believe with all our heart he's going to come soon. But until that time, I'll tell you one thing we can all have, regardless of when that's going to be. Every one of us can find personal geula. And personal geula comes when we're true to ourselves. We find that personal geula in the chayim, you feel it already right now. With the simchas chayim that every one of us is yearning for. We'll be zoichet to a life of geula until we're zoichet to the ultimate geula. Mishkel sekeinu, hair of yameinu. We have a good vach, a good week. Bez Hashem, a month only full of simcha and bracha. Mm-hmm.